Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Suede at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at CRN Talk. Well, here's today's lineup in just a moment. Michael Horn, founder and CEO of CRN, Reese Lloyd, author of the Flag Amendment, and Ray Trosper, author of the 21-Second Remembrance Resolution, and in the second hour, Selwyn Duke. Right now, without further delay, I do want to go to the big man, Michael J. Horn, founder and CEO of CRN Digital Talk, the world's first original cable audio service. And CRN's reach has grown to more than 11 million cable customers across the United States, the Bahamas, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and around the world. Mr. Horn, how are you?
Your intros are always the best, Chuck Wilder. I love you, man. You're the best.
Oh, he loves me. Now we know where that's coming from.
Yeah, you know, it's been a love affair for many years, Chuck.
Yeah, many, many years. Yes, sir. You know, I got to tell you, it's kind of interesting when it's the last day, and it's not like you're moving on to something else, you know. It's just sort of you're moving on to nothing. That's the way, kind of the way I feel today.
That's the way we feel, Chuck. Let me just say this. For all the years, you and George putting them together gave us the news before most other news sources had the news. I mean, you deserve a medal, and you're, you know, as strong as you are on the air, you are shy, you don't want awards, we wanted to give you things, we're going to take care of you and send you on a trip to Vegas, maybe on $100 cash to see if you can build it up, but what,
you know, cash. Man, that lasts for about 15 seconds.
That's exactly right. I know you. But I'm telling you, on behalf of all your listeners and all of us at CRN, we are going to miss you. You are a mainstay of everything at CRN. Hearing the music, you know, everybody's talking. It's summertime. It's wintertime. It's whatever it is. You have done an incredible job, and we want to just thank you for that, I'll tell you.
Well, you know what? And I got to tell you, a lot of accolades go to Michael Horn. Because George and I, you know, we left KIEV for a while, and we went bouncing around a couple of other stations, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like, let's do something different. And, you know, Mike, I think, in fact, you were already picking up the talk back at some of the last stations we were at whenever
we were.
Originally left KRLA, which was originally KIEV. And all of a sudden it was like, hey, why don't we go on a place where we can go worldwide, all right? And you don't have to put up with too many executives that maybe you didn't get along with. You know, not that George ever had that problem, right? No, huh?
No, that's why we put Suede McCoy in charge of your show and Mike Gary, because we figure those are the executives that could hold you in line.
You know, I got to tell you, yeah, whenever it comes to people I work with, you do pick the best, all right? And Suede, you know, I cannot say enough about that gentleman. You know, he saved my rear end a couple of times because
great. But Chuck, I think your audience wants to know this. I want to know, where did you start? Where was your first job in radio?
You know what? It is amazing that my first job, I think I have a thing somewhere here. Anyway, yeah, here it is right here. I actually started, I went into the United States Navy.
Yep.
And I was on a ship, the USS Matthews, all right? And it was a ship that carried Marines, and we landed the guys on the beach, you know, and things like that. And we were always at sea for a long time. And I was on board this ship, and I said, you know, and I used to play radio whenever I was a young kid. You know, I'd get records when I was, you know, like 8 years old, and I had my top 40 because I was using both sides of the records. But anyway,
I knew there was something I loved about you. Yeah, I did the same thing. So did Rush Limbaugh had a deal. But anyway,
really?
Go ahead, continue. So
yeah,
you're playing records as a kid. Now you're on the ship.
Yeah, so I'm on the ship, and I'm actually a radar man now. And I said, why don't we just build a radio station on board the ship? And maybe because we were always traveling with other ships, you know, and they said, yeah, we'll send something so that, you know, that if you're like within a 5-mile range, you can listen to it and you can listen to it on the ship. And so that happened. And the ship was the AKA 96 Matthews. And we made up the radio station. I did it, actually. And it was KA, which was the designation of the ship, attack cargo. and the Matthews MA, so it was KAMA 96, and that was our
name. I've never heard this story. You had the first pirate radio station at sea. We should do a movie about you. That's
and
amazing.
Anyway, I was selling stuff, and what I sold was life preservers, you know, and Liberty passes.
There you go.
Free meals and free desserts and stuff like that. And it was just all, you know, made up. And so then Armed Forces Radio came along and did a big story on me. And what name was I using then? Oh, Rod Fry. Yeah, I was using Rod Fry. I've had so many names, Mike, you wouldn't believe. It's like it's going to be hard to find me when they start looking for me.
Rod Fry's your agent now. Isn't that your agent that signs all the good deals for you?
He gets all the money, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, and I've used some crazy names. Rod Fry was good, and they said, and I said, you know, I got to change that name because every time I'd use an operator, back in those days, you'd call an operator and say, could I have number so-and-so? Pardon me. And I'd say, who's calling? Rod Fry. What's that last name? Fry, F-R-Y. And I said, boy, if I ever get to another big market, you know, I'm going to change my name. And I did, Mike. I changed it to Harry Legg, L-E-G-G. And they didn't forget it, okay? I'm not making this up. So then,
I love it. So then, Rod Fry, Harry Legg, Chuck Wild. So when you get off the ship, where do you go? What's your first land radio job?
Oh, well, I went to radio school. Then I took a vacation. I'd already had a record company said, we'd like to hire you. You know, we like the way you operate. And I said, radio's my thing. I went out to Texas, New Mexico, and I couldn't get a job. And it made me mad. And I called them, and I said, I'm not coming back. And I started out at a little station right out of Lubbock, Texas. And then I went to one of the biggest stations in Texas, which was in Midland, Texas, KCRS. And they covered, you know, almost all of Texas and, of course, New Mexico. And then I went into TV and became a, you know, sort of like Lloyd Thaxton. Remember him? He had his little fingers.
You played music. You played records
lip-sync.
And had your little record hop on television, right?
Right. But I lip-synced the songs, and everybody thought I was so talented. Anyway.
You are, Chuck. You are talented. Now, did you play country music when you were in Midland and in Lubbock, Texas there?
No, not country. But then I got a part-time job playing country on Saturdays, and I was using a different name, and that was one that I ended up using in Fresno, and it was Chuck Wagon, and I used that in Fresno, and when I came to Los Angeles, the first radio station was in Pomona, and they were doing country, and they said, hey, you know what, Chuck Wagon, that just sounds too oaky. I said, you're playing country music. And I got together with Arlen Miller, and I think you know Arlen Miller.
Arlen Miller, one of the great.
Yeah, and he was the program director, and we went out and had a couple of Cokes. And,
and so let's go beverages, go ahead. And
he said, you're pretty wild. How about if you can't use wagon, how about wilder? And I said, I don't care. So anyway, and that's the way it went.
So just an amazing thing. You were playing, when I heard you the first time, back when I was, you know, just a little child, you were you were doing country music at KIEV before you did talk. You were doing the Young Country there that the management put together. And it was like a new thing. You were starting to play like the Linda Ronstadt's mixed in with things. And that was a big deal. And you went to like country clubs and hosted things. I think you guys.
Did you know what you said, Linda Ronstadt? The worst I ever had at the Palomino Club was I used to get booked to go in there, you know, and introduce the guests. Was Linda Ronstadt? Yeah, and I think was it Linda?
Linda Ronstadt.
The one that was going, the one that went with the governor for a while.
Yeah, that's her, Linda Ronstadt. She went with Jerry Brown.
Yep, she had some problem, and it took her like 1 hour to come out and do her show. And I was up on that stage ad-libbing, and I hated it.
It's a good thing you did that record hop. You could sing to the tunes. Play another one, boys.
No, it wasn't that. It was just me talking.
With the Tony Booth band. You should have brought him back up.
Just some
interviews. See, here's the deal, Chuck. You, one of the great radio personalities, because you, and you do it now. You can change. The guest doesn't show or something happens. You carry the show. You do news. You got backup. You're prepared. You always got had things to go. There it was, Palomino Club, one of the greats. Watch a Clint Eastwood movie, always filmed at the Palomino Club. Mm-hmm. And you might even see Chuck Wilder in one of them, because he'd go on stage and he would host, maybe the Thursday night talent contest or whatever. He'd be there with the radio station. And so Linda Ronstadt was a tough one to get on stage, huh?
Well, it's just that she left me up there for 1 hour, and, her agent was apologizing, and I told the owner, the Palomino, I said, I don't even want paid. Yes, 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 it's not your fault. I said, no, that's it. I've had it. You know, I'm a stubborn guy. You know that.
that's
but,
it.
But, it is
same
interesting.
Same thing happened to me, by the way, with country entertainment. Must be that way. Neil McCoy left me waiting for an hour for dinner one time. I'm just kidding. Neil McCoy is Wade McCoy's dad. I just had to throw that in.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So anyway, so you had this big radio career music-wise. When did you switch to talk, and how did that happen?
It was KIEV whenever they went talk. I still stayed there, and Steve Knight and I were there, and they said, yep, and they're building the Arco Towers in downtown Los Angeles. And so I got to stay for a while. I was with Mr. Blackwell at KIV in a little tiny studio, you know.
Wait a second. This is the guy that had the worst dress list every year, right, Mr.
Yes.
Blackwell?
Yep. And so I stayed with him, you know, and then
really?
Steve.
Did that become an item in the newspaper?
Hopefully not.
Okay, never mind.
I think it was in a magazine, but you had to go to the right store to buy it.
Okay. Well, anyway, so yes. You're with Mr. Blackwell. You guys are doing a two-person show there, right?
And I was a disc jockey at KAV, and Steve Knight was a disc jockey, so he took over with George Putnam whenever George first came over. And George came over right after they completed, you know, the Twin Towers, okay? 1989, I think, was the date.
Yep.
And so then they decided to bring in Paul Wallach and talk about food. And Steve Knight went with Paul Wallach, and they stuck me with this guy named George Putnam. So, and then we got along great because he automatically knew that I was such a wonderful guy.
Chuck, we looked it up, and it said that Talkback started around maybe 1976, so maybe it started at the station. You would know better than anybody, but I bring it up because you're historical here. I mean, we need to get a plaque for you, and we're working on it, because this is one of the longest-running shows. Now, this is your last show, and we are very sad about it, but I'm telling you, you have had one incredible run. There's a guy, I think, in New Jersey that had a long show or something, Paul Harvey. Yeah. Did his newscast, but this is one of the longest running continuous radio shows in the United States. I mean, I gotta tell you, and we brought the audience with us here today. The people loving you, Chuck, I'm telling you.
By the way, that's my horn. That was originally
crazy, I'm telling you.
Originally, that horn was under my car.
We took it off so we could use it as a sound effect.
So now.
But it's true. Tell us about that, correct? I mean, this show has been on for many years.
Yeah, well, you know, it has. And George, you know, with Mort Saul, I guess it was, they started that Both Sides Now, which I think was the heartbeat of everybody's talking and talk back. And Steve Knight came up with a theme song, which is fantastic, you know.
Hell yeah. I mean, I hear that song, I think of you, I think of George. And I have to tell you this also. You know, we're having some fun talking about your careers, but you guys always tackle the hard topics like, taxes with the Jarvis Initiative and this whole thing on immigration and the borders open. You and George were the first to talk about this years ago. This has been a problem festering not only in California but across the country, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Mike, looks like we've run out of time. Thank you very much, sir. I'll talk to you later.
I love you. We miss you.
All right. Hey, Reese Lloyd, Ray Trosper coming up. If your name started with an R, those were the only two we picked for today. Be right back.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill. Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you been.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills, going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here, and celebrating, I guess you would say, and it's not really a good word, celebrate, but at least doing the last show here, okay? And it is a privilege to bring on a couple of guys that I've been associated with for a long, long time, and the main reason I'm associated with them is because of a guy named George Putnam, who originally had this radio show. And I speak of none other than Reese Lloyd and Ray Trosper. Reese Lloyd is the author of the Flag Amendment Resolution, a longtime civil rights attorney, veterans activist, and his work has been honored by, among others, the California State and Assembly, numerous civil rights, workers' rights, veterans' rights organizations, testifies as a constitutional expert at hearings before the U.S. House and Senate, representing the American Legion. And Reese writes for News with Views, newswithviews.com, and his website, ReeseLloydLaw at gmail.com. That's his, what would you call that? His address. All right. And then there's Ray Trosper, and he's author of the 21-Second Remembrance Resolution. Talked about it last time. We'll try to get that in again. He is a former U.S. Marine, served with Charlie Company 3rd Assault Amphibian Battalion. He's a member of the American Legion Riverside Post 79, patriotic guard writer, founder of Duncat Industries, that was in Ontario, California, mobile home industry. And by the way, I'm always proud of him because he did something that very few people do. Ray personally provided a dinner, show, and concert for the troops that were called up for active duty in Iraq and their families, and he dug in his little pocket, that's the one on the left side, and pulled out $100,000 to pay for that big concert and show. And his website, 21secondsnow.com, I think that's still going. And first off, Reese, how are you, sir?
Real good, real good. And I really enjoyed your discussion with Mike Horn. That was great, great radio.
Boy, that Mike Horn, he's like a little toy, you know, that doesn't run on batteries. You just wind it up and it just keeps on. Yeah, fantastic. Ray, how you doing?
Chuck, I couldn't be doing better. I like Reese, I love the story you told about Chuck Wagons. It just makes me think of two other words that make me think of you when I hear anybody say the ranch.
you guys remember Wolfman Jack, right?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of left that story out because he was at XPRS in Los Angeles. Well, that's where the studio was, but their transmitter was in Mexico. Okay, and XPRS went all over. They went from, you know, Hawaii all the way to Alaska. And I was using a different name there, too. I think I went back to Harry Lake. I wasn't sure. But I always loved that name, you know, Harry Lake. And it was sort of like a French name, you know. And I am quite, you know, I am quite muscular, as both of you know. And one time I saw Ray, I think it was, looking at my legs. I think it was you. Anyway.
I'll never admit that.
But yeah, I kind of left that one out there. But that was a great pleasure to take over Wolfman Jack's job, because he went over to NBC and had a TV show. And there was a guy who actually owned that spot, a sub-spot there. You're supposed to, you know, sell oldies but goodies records. But I had too much talk going on. So, you know, coming up on this break here in just a moment, I got a... remind the listeners, you know, I should have taken that off of the wall. Oh, boy, let me see if I can do this like this, yeah. Dun-dun-dun. Sometimes you get a microphone that comes right out of the deal there, yes. These two guys got together with a couple of other guys and gave me a big plaque that I have on my wall, the Defense of Veterans Memorials Project. You guys remember that one? And it's a little far off there. Let's see, Reese Lloyd, Ray Trosper, Peter, and I can't, Ramos?
Yeah, Pete Ramos.
Okay, and Robert Segalia and Bobby Del Castillo were all the people that were, they gave me the presentation. And it's a picture of me sitting in the studio, and I really welcome that, too. That's one of my favorite plaques, and every time one of these guys got into the studio here, they got to sit in the chair and look at it the whole time and say, did we really put money into that thing? All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I'll let you guys talk about whatever you want to talk about and your relationship with George Putnam, or maybe Sally. Who knows? Yeah, Sally Conlon, his companion for 52 years, and she's at a special home right now being taken care of. But we all get old sometimes, and those that don't, I don't know what the heck to say. We'll be right back with Reese Lloyd, Ray Trosper.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Back in 2019, Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston combined their talents to play a pair of bumbling detectives who solve a grisly, complicated crime. Well, now they're back, attending the wedding of one of their old pals from the last film, who suddenly disappears in Murder Mystery 2, now streaming on Netflix.
The Maharaj has been kidnapped,
and all of you are suspects.
You must be the Spitzes.
Yes.
Your reputation's besieging, not in a positive way.
That's Mark Strong, who's actually a worthwhile addition to this cast. And the entire movie, set in scenic locations in India and Paris, generates more energy, humor, and excitement by far than the first film. Yes, the ridiculously complicated plot makes everyone a suspect, but the couple at the center of the story at least looks like they're having fun this time, and their relationship generates a few more sparks. Rated PG-13, 2.5 stars for Murder Mystery 2, that rare sequel that takes a step forward.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain from a sports injury?
If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Hi, Fred Dreyer here to talk about all-natural ingredient Balance 7. Do you suffer from heartburn? Can't eat the foods you like? Then you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH balance helps increase energy, memory, sleep, and it helps unlock your immune system. Balance 7 works. I know because I use it every day. So go ahead, eat that pepperoni pizza without heartburn. And now you can try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. Free shipping, a money-back guarantee, plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need. Try Balance 7, 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. You have nothing to lose with our money-back guarantee. 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. Or go to balance7.com.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Wonderful theme song, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And Steve Knight, I mentioned earlier, he's the guy that came up with that. Great idea, you know, and good for bumper music. That's what they call it. Reese Lloyd, author of The Flag Amendment. Ray Trosper, author of the 21-Second Remembrance Resolution. boy, pardon me. Now, Reese and Ray, both of you used to go to the ranch occasionally, right, to see George?
Yep.
And did you ever get on one of the horses?
Not me. Not me. I tried to get Reese on the horse, but the horse wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, and luckily it was a horse with no name. I don't know where that, yeah, really. But, you know, you have to appreciate the way things turn out in life, you know, because here I am doing rock and roll music, then doing TV, and then doing country music, and I'm really proud. I've got a lot of awards that came from country music. I got Disc Jockey of the Year from Billboard magazine. What was the other thing there? Anyway, a whole bunch of different ones, you know, and the Country Music Association Award. And, you know, and I really loved country music, and it got, it kind of switched, you know, and it's really switched now to where it doesn't sound as twangy, you know what I mean? And it's still okay now, but I think the good old days, I guess all old people are that way, so let me check with a couple of old people. Reese, Ray, what do you think? Has the old country music better for you guys whenever you listen to it? Now, I know both of you are probably rock and rollers, but...
No, Chuck, you know, I gotta say that I like the twangy Hank Williams style of country music. But, you know, before the break, you mentioned that, you know, we all got to get old sometimes. And it kind of struck me as I remember Ronald Reagan once said that lots of things, when you get our age, remind you of stories. So what I want to know is, when is your book coming out?
You know, and it's funny. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm coming out with a lot of secrets today. But when I was in high school, let me do this. The fifth grade, I had a teacher named Mae Denny, all right? And she got a broomstick and like a dog food can, put the dog food can on the top, and that was a microphone. And every Friday, she told people, she said, you know, all the students there, this is in the fifth grade, and she said, all right, everybody's going to have to come up and talk into the microphone. And I'm talking about every single person in this class, fifth graders. And she says, and I don't care what you talk about. You can do a poem, you can do a song, you can talk about your pets, whatever it is, but everybody's going to have to do it. And it was sort of a thing like come out of your shell. And I had always been known for making up stories, all right? So they called me up, and I got permission from her, and I started talking about the secret of the cave, and it was a story about these children that accidentally get into a mountain, and the side kind of gives in, and all of a sudden they find out it's a cave, and they go into this cave, right? And all these weird things are happening. So to try to make a longer, short story, for the entire year, every single Friday, after everybody else got through talking, whatever amount of time was left at the end, I would come up and continue that story. And it was sort of like I said, hey, this is later on in life. I said, I just realized I invented the soap opera. And kids would get sick or have to go somewhere on a Friday. Oh, man, they would call my house or make sure they cornered me somewhere in the little town and said, what happened? What happened? I got to hear the rest of it, you know. And at one time, writing was going to be my career. Absolutely. I was going to do nothing but write novels. And I don't regret it, but if I decide to start another career right now, that might be it.
Well, you may be starting another one. We're not going to let you rest. You're going to have to be involved in what we're doing. Earlier, you recited those names, the five guys. Well, that group of us, that was sometimes referred to as the Gang of Five, because we were the ones who pushed as hard as we could to get the American Legion to come in and fight with the ACLU to stop them from destroying our crosses, honoring vets at our veterans' memorials. And we did that. We were told there was no way we could ever defeat them. Too many lawyers, too much money, and we damn well did it. It took 25 years in one case, but 10 years after we came together to make that fight, we won. And you have so many admirers, but I have in my hand right this moment one of your greatest admirers who asked me to make sure that this was given to you and read to you on your show, and I'm going to take his orders because it's Major General Patrick H. Brady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who is, as you know, is regarded as America's most decorated living veteran, and he's also the author of his memoir, Dead Men Flying, Victory in Vietnam, The Legend of Dust Off.
Which was also written by his daughter, too. She was one of the co-authors.
That's right. Yeah. Co-author. But he says this to Chuck Wilder, and we joined in what he is saying to you. Dear Chuck, as you begin your retirement today, please let me join my voice to all the others which you are receiving, thanking you for your lifetime of patriotic service to God and country. It is because of patriots like you that veterans like me did what we did. From your service in the Navy in the Vietnam War, where your talent for radio broadcasting was first realized, and through your years of success, hitting up your own television and radio shows, and later becoming the sidekick and producer for the late broadcast legend George Putnam, and becoming his successor as host of the original Talkback show, you have never wavered from your commitment to patriotic defense of our great nation, in your reporting of the news and in your commentary, no matter the slings and arrows of outraged America haters attacking you and seeking to transform our country from one nation under God into a divided nation without God. Perhaps no other broadcaster has done more to remember and report on our veterans in war and in peace than have you as a Navy vet and George Putnam as a World War II vet of the Army and of the Marines on what is rightly named the original Talkback Show. I appreciate greatly and have been honored by the many times you have invited me to appear on the original Talkback Show to speak on matters important to our veterans and to all Americans, if we are to preserve and protect the freedom bequeathed to us by our founding fathers. For just three examples, you and George Putnam were the first broadcasters to carry news of the resolutions and subsequent lawsuits filed by veterans to protect crosses honoring veterans at our veterans' memorials from destruction by the ACLU, a battle won after 10 years of litigation. Similarly, you reported regularly on our fight to pass the flag amendment to protect the flag from physical desecration, which other media ignored and which is still ongoing. More recently, if you had me on to speak on what will be the National Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas. This museum will be a vault for all for the values embedded in the Medal of Honor, and a schoolhouse for those values for generations to come. For all that you have done in your long service to God and country, you have my respect and deserve to have the respect of a grateful nation. Major General Patrick Brady.
Wow, man. I mean, you're going to have to send me a copy of that, I guess. I'm going to have to find another, what are those things called, picture frames? Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and put that one in there. That's fantastic. I appreciate that. And, you know, listener, in case you missed it, when we were talking about the National Medal of Honor Museum, Arlington, Texas, it's right close to the, what's that name of that team, the Cowboys? Yeah. Anyway, the program, the whole program we did on that, when it opens up and you go visit it, you can actually hear the world-famous Reese Lloyd, and, of course, Major General Patrick Brady and myself doing that show, and it's a very interesting show, and it's something that, you know, should have happened a long, long time ago, but, you know, it's really good, for, especially what you three people are doing, okay, that we're mentioning right now, because vets don't get enough attention, you know. And Reese has always come up, and he always knows, hey, here's the time to talk about, you know, when they came back from Vietnam, okay, or right. Pearl Harbor, you know. These are important things. And just because, you know, they're bad events that happened in America, they shouldn't be ignored, you know. And I got to mention again with Ray. Boy, I'm telling you, when you reach in your pocket and pull out $100,000, you know, and have a dinner show concert for troops, that tells you something. You know, you're not trying to buy a bunch of friends. You're trying to show your appreciation. So all you millionaires out there, I want you to take down Reese Lloyd and Ray Trosper's addresses whenever we give them a little bit later on there. Is 21secondsnow.com, is that still working, Ray?
Oh, yeah, it's still working, Chuck.
Okay. And, 21, know, the number 21secondsnow.com, okay. And then with Reese, of course, you can always contact him, read all his articles at newswithviews.com. But you can contact him at reeselloydlaw@gmail.com. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Chuck, the thing about resolutions and amendments and everything else, they take time. And as we had spoke before on your station, that, you know, that the POW MIA flag took 18 years to ratify.
Wow.
So when you've got something like 21 seconds and then other shows that you've done with the Honor and Remember flag, Veterans Day Out, Ride to the Flag, all those things, you know, they don't happen real fast in the real life. But you just keep punching along, and you take it step by step, and then sooner or later, you finally hit it. And when I hit it, Chuck, I got to get you back on that microphone, because you were the first to give me media on that, and I've never gone to anyone else on air. So when it gets to that point, Chuck, I want to figure out some way that you are with me on that.
Well, you know, I'm always behind whatever both of you guys are doing. And, you know, and Reese is the guy that really pushes the right people, you know, whenever he contacts Brady and whenever he contacts you and other people that we've talked with throughout the years. The memorial, I'm trying to think, yes, Reese, you have a memorial, a small memorial of George, right?
Oh, yeah.
The one that we put together with his hat and all that stuff, is that
right.
Has that been put up?
It is in the process.
Okay.
George was a great Marine, and before that in the Army, World War II, as you know.
Yeah.
I asked him one day, George, how come you never joined the Legion? And he gave me a response which I probably have heard 1,000 times. Nobody ever asked me. So I said, okay, I'm asking. And he was a member of our Riverside Post 79 with the five guys that you talked about there, one of which was Castillo, Bobby Dale Castillo. We were located there. So George brought a great, great finesse to it. It's hard to talk about finesse with George, but George was able to touch people's hearts, and so you have you, especially the veterans. And when Ray has come up with the 21-second resolution, you were behind it, you and George, from the very beginning, and nobody else ignored it. But Ray managed to get that adopted into law in California. It's been codified as part of California law. Nobody's going to go to jail over it, but it's a very simple process that Ray came up with, and that is we can honor veterans in a way that doesn't cost anybody a dime. But that is on the 21st day of every month, we pause at noon for 21 seconds just to honor and remember veterans. And I think it's a great, great idea, and he's worked very hard to make it happen. He's got it codified. But hopefully it's going to go all the way across the country. And as he says, that you've got to be a part of that, because I don't want to get your beloved wife, Nancy, mad at us, but we're not going to let you sleep all day. We're going to be
Wait a minute, hold it. Did you just say I don't get to sleep in? Oh, no.
I know how hard it is to do five days a week.
But you know, when you have a lot of support, and I'm used to it because you find the right places to go on the internet. The internet really helps you a lot, you know. And then you have people like what was his name there? Gee, he used to be on Fox, you know, and he's gone now. But you could watch his show and find out a lot of truth. And George and I both never dodge what we were going to talk about, and we get in trouble. And especially on immigration, you know. Oh, there they go again. I remember how many of the higher-ups at a lot of stations we worked at. My God, can't you guys talk about more than just immigration? Yeah, we'll bring on Ray, and we'll bring on Reese, and, you know, we'll bring on Major Patrick Brady. Okay, that'll work. And what else would you bring on? We'll bring on a thing called a break, which would give us about 4 minutes or so, and then we'll be back and wrap things up with Reese Lloyd, author of the Flag Amendment, Ray Trosper, author of the 21 Seconds Remembrance Resolution, the 21st of each month. Just fly it. Just show it to them. We'll be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. My pleasure to have Reese Lloyd, author of The Flag Amendment, Ray Trosper, author of The 21 Seconds Remembrance Resolution. And, you know, Reese, I also wanted to mention, George, for some reason, you know, he made it very, very clear, you know, about whenever he died and how he wanted things and how he didn't want things. And he didn't want a big to-do about his passing. And I know you know that because you're the guy that kind of got behind it and said, nope. And I think I helped you a little bit. I kept kicking you in case you stopped talking. but you remember that, the great memorial we had for George?
We were honored to provide the honors of a military funeral for George. Our group, and we have the team, Uncle Bobby Castillo team. It was an honor for us to honor him in that way.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I do want to say that Ray has raised and he has been a vital part of a situation in which we did fight and successfully, and that is that we were ordered in doing our burials at Riverside National Cemetery. We were ordered, and it was a nationwide order. We could no longer do the make reference to the 13 folds in the flag, because in that ceremony, God is referenced, and somebody made a complaint.
Really?
But that's right. And we got together and fought back, and they had to rescind that order. But
you know what I would have done? I would have, instead of saying God, I would have just said, you know, and the guy with the great name, just say it every time. The guy with the great name until you won the, you know, your charge, which you did, which is great. Yeah.
It was a hell of a battle. Now listen, Chuck.
Yeah.
You may be saying goodbye to the airwaves, but I want you to know, you're not that far from us. And
that's
I told
right.
Reese last night that when he comes back in town, that we need to get together, and Nancy, and even Diane. I talked to her about it.
Uh huh.
And we got.
I bet I know. I bet he mentioned Los Portales, didn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we've got to get over there, and we've got to have more time with just us together.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know, we can stay there forever because. I'll tell you, you know, to waste time, really, valuable time, it's a Hispanic restaurant, okay, and they have two of them in Chino, California, and I met the lady that opened up the second one there whenever George and I were doing a show. She was a guest on another, and she said, oh, yeah, and I'm opening a restaurant in Chino, and so then I started talking to her. Ugly lady. I don't know how, right, Reese?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably one of the most beautiful ladies walking on earth, okay?
Yeah.
But I am known as the doorman there because I would be at the front door waiting, you know, to get the table. And every time somebody would go out, I'd go open the door. And I became known as the doorman. So I'm famous there. Yes, sir. But, oh, yeah, just give us a couple of days' notice, and I'm all in. Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, you won't be bringing that classic car. Thanks a lot, Ray. But looks like we're just about out of time. Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. And, yeah, we're staying in touch and already. It's not like you're getting ready to get buried. You know what I mean? It's just...
We appreciate you, brother, and we love you like a brother.
Yeah. Hey, and I appreciate you guys and everything you've done. And if you come up with another award, I'll try to make room for it on the wall, okay? Yeah. What did I do so great today? oh, yes, I saved a cat. Okay. That's a whole new story. Do we have another hour, Swade? I tell Selwyn Duke I'm going to spend an hour talking about the cat I saved. Yes. No. Selwyn Duke is coming up next. Thanks again, Reese Lloyd, Ray Trosper, and that wonderful, wonderful thing that Reese read to me there, and I appreciate that very, very much, very much.
I'll make sure.
Yeah. General Brady, thank you.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Swade at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Right now, without further delay, yes, that's a brand new word. It's going to become famous. You spell it L-A-Y, all right? We have the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Selwyn, by the way, has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on many television and a frequent guest on great radio programs and also on this one. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke. Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke,
yes,
Duke,
sir.
Of Earl,
Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke. Selwyn, congratulations on being the guy that gets to do the last show. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's something else, Chuck. It really is. This is going to be our last rodeo, huh?
Yeah, and our last carnival, too.
Yeah. Makes it sort of a bittersweet day, I have to say, but we'll talk about that later, I suppose. How are you?
I am fair to partly cloudy today, so there you go. Let's talk about, some crazy things going on here. You know, AI, artificial intelligence, and religion. And you have one, AI and religion. Will our children be forced to worship a digital God? You know, as little as probably 5-6 years ago, people would laugh at you just for even thinking that would be possible, right?
Right, yeah. Well, some may still laugh, Chuck, absolutely. Yeah. But it's really no laughing matter. And, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, I don't know if you were ever a fan of Star Trek, but I was when I was a kid, uh-huh. as were a lot of the boys my age. When I was in sixth grade, they were showing Star Trek every night at 6 p.m. in my area, and I never missed an episode. And on that show, as in many movies we've seen and other shows, they sometimes portrayed civilizations that were controlled by super intelligent computers, like the episode The Return of the Archons. Well, anyway, many people are worried that one day we could see now life imitating art. And this issue was raised recently by Elon Musk, who everyone knows, of course. And he said that he used to be friends with Google co-founder Larry Page. And one reason why they don't speak anymore is they had a disagreement on artificial intelligence. Musk thinks that we need a lot of regulation and we need to go slow because it poses a profound risk to humanity, whereas Larry Page wants to create, Musk related this recently, an AI superintelligence that would essentially be a, quote, digital god. That's what he wants to create. Now, yeah, this is something really, really scary. And the whole goal of Google, according to Musk, is to create AGI. That's artificial general intelligence or artificial superintelligence. That's according to the Christian Post. And anyway, here's what Larry Page said in 2006 already about this. He said, quote, "The ultimate search engine would understand everything in the world. It would understand everything that you asked it and give you back the exact right thing instantly." Now, let's think about that statement, Chuck. I mean, if you're talking about the exact right thing instantly, providing that all the time, well, that requires infallibility, right? And that's something only God possesses. Think about that. So,
yeah, but let me ask you, because does it automatically tell you that the right thing, somebody has to put that information in, and it's not going to be God, right?
Well, exactly, and you put that very well. I'm glad you phrased it just that way. See, that's the problem. I'm going to get to that. Who's defining the exact right thing here? Now, if you're talking about asking, well, what is the deepest lake in the world? That's Lake Baikal, by the way. Okay, I'm sure the AI is going to be right on that. If you're talking about basic facts, you would hope anyway. But what about when you talk about being morally correct? Remember, the people creating this artificial intelligence themselves are morally confused. These people are moral relativists. They're the first ones who will say, if someone such as myself says, well, what about the truth? What is the truth? Well, what is the truth? You know, that's your truth. My truth might be different. Who are you to impose your values on me? They're the first ones to express this profound confusion about morality. But now all of a sudden they purport to be able to create a digital god that can provide the instant answer that's absolutely correct. I mean, it's just unbelievable and very, very scary if you think about it. And let's go on with this, though, because it's not Page who is the only one who's saying this. I mean, this is from American Thinker now. They put it very well, so I'm going to quote them. Quote, "According to former Google engineer Anthony Lewandowski, AI would have the entire internet at its disposal, much like our own nervous system, and all the phones, tablets, PCs, and other connected devices would, in effect, be its sense organs. The AI will see and hear everything and be everywhere at all times. Lewandowski argues that the only rational word to describe that is God. And he believes that humans will basically, get this, Chuck, have to worship and pray to AI to influence its decision-making."
Wow.
Think about that. Now, this guy Lewandowski is very serious about this because he's also founded a religion based around this idea that he calls Way of the Future. So,
okay,
very, very
scary.
And
let me ask you this, and maybe it's a little bit later on in the report, too, but who puts all the stuff in the internet that AI is going to be picking out?
Yeah, well, humans do, of course. Humans do, at least right now. And, you know, we're going to get to this, but...
Yeah, whoever won the election, that, right? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm probably jumping way ahead here. Yeah.
Yeah, is that... We may reach this point that they call the singularity. Most everyone has heard that term. Well, when used in this context, it refers to that point where artificial intelligence becomes so powerful and so brilliant, a million times as intelligent as we are, maybe a billion times, who knows, that it becomes self-aware and starts recursively improving itself, meaning engaging in self-improvement over and over and over again, and actually then it can get out of control. And beyond that point, the singularity, we really don't know what's going to happen. And Musk pointed that out. Of course, I would add that even putting this aside, we're never very good at predicting the future, we humans, are we? I mean, look at all of the ridiculous environmentalist predictions that never came to pass. But anyway, just to backtrack a little bit, you know, we already, Chuck, see artificial intelligence's stamp on religion because, for instance, this was in the American Spectator, but we have, quote, online worship and streaming services, and this person writes, thank you, Dr. Fauci and lockdown governors. These are routine these days. Physical hymnals have joined the passing of the plate as largely passé, replaced by, respectively, worship screens and online giving. Many don't carry a physical Bible to church or Bible study anymore, what with any scripture passage a few taps distant on their smartphones. As for devotionals, prayers, hymns, spiritual songs, there's an app for all of those. Now, this is interesting, Chuck, because remember, part of the reason behind faith, okay, it's not the only reason, but part of its purpose is it's supposed to bring us together. That's the whole idea. It's supposed to unite us. We're supposed to come together, and therein lies the value, actually, of going to church. We're not just atomized beings who happen to occupy the same landmass. That's not what we're supposed to be, and all of this really serves to separate people. I just want to point that out. That's not in my article, but this is interesting because, you know, this ChatGPT now, which is artificial intelligence, Chuck, I don't know if you've tried it. I have. In fact, I asked it about moral relativism. I'll get into that later.
Yeah, I have not tried it yet, no.
Yeah, but anyway, the American Spectator provides this example. There was this New York rabbi in last December, who asked ChatGPT to write him a sermon about a very esoteric part of the Torah, something very specific. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he delivered this sermon to his congregation. He did tell them that it was plagiarized, but not from whom. And the congregation, get this, thought that it was written by a great rabbi of the past. That's what they thought. Okay? Now, this isn't to say, Chuck, that AI already surpasses our best theologians, because, as some people have put it, it's an exegete, but a shallow one, that it's just a correlation machine. There are experts who are quoted in the Spectator piece who put it in these ways. It, quote, predicts the likelihood of the following word. It's not sentient. Ah. But therein lies the rub, okay? Mm-hmm. Can it become sentient? See, that's what a lot of people fear. Elon Musk apparently does fear that, Chuck. And anyway, I was talking about the singularity before. I'm going to quote American Thinker again because, again, they put it very, very well. What is the singularity? As they put it, it's that point where, quote, AI becomes so powerful and complex that it actually becomes aware of itself and starts making its own decisions regardless of human imperatives.
Wow.
This is the driving fear behind the Terminator franchise and other such stories. Could it happen? That's what American Thinker asks. Now, you know, I just have to say, Chuck, you have to remember, if this comes to pass, what we see portrayed in the Terminator series, that's small potatoes, because that's Hollywood. I mean, like you saw there, that truck fleeing the machines, and it was maybe 100 yards ahead of one of the machines, if you remember the scene, and the machine was firing a laser at it and missing. Well, let me tell you, the kind of technology we're talking about, it wouldn't be missing. It would be zap and you'd be vaporized. But we don't know where any of this is going to go, because it's very hard to predict the technology of the future. You know, they may not have, or when I say they, I'm not just talking about machines, I mean humans perhaps in the future. We may not be using things as clumsy as lasers. We might be using nanorobots, microscopic robots that just could invade someone's body and cause systemic breakdown. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
the point is, as Michael Crichton, the late great author, pointed out in a great speech, we don't know where technology is going to take us. He went back to 1903 and he talked about how these people knew nothing of what the world would be like in 2003. They didn't know what the atom was. They hadn't heard of so many things that we have now. And he wasn't putting them down. He was just illustrating a point. Do we really know what things are going to be like technologically 100 years hence? No, of course we don't. It's impossible. Okay?
And you know, it's kind of funny, too. It's like, do we know this? Do we know that? And when I hear that, Selwyn, pardon me,
yeah,
I'm thinking about all the input that goes in, let's say, to a robot, and especially in the new beginning, all the information it gets. And it does get the information of how to say no, but it probably knows how to override the word no. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how do you know you're going to have complete control? Because maybe all of a sudden it thinks I'm smarter than you are, you know, so you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a human being, so I'm not going to do what you said. See, basically, it's like, wouldn't it be smarter than the average human? Not even, I mean.
Oh, well, that's.
Definitely, right?
That's the whole point, yeah. I mean, it's going to get to a point, regardless of whether or not it becomes sentient, quote-unquote, it's going to get to a point, Chuck, where it's a million times smarter than the average human. Understand something. Gary Kasparov, the chess champion, he has a very big ego, and I say that with affection. I think it's funny. He once said that a machine would never beat him, but ultimately he was beaten by a computer. And that's going to be replicated in every field of endeavor, where these machines are going to be surpassing humans, maybe even taking over the Chuck Wilder show. We don't know.
Ah, somebody's got to take over it. In fact, within the next 40 minutes, okay? it's scary stuff, you know, Selwyn? Very, very scary stuff. And we're going to take a break here in a minute, and when you get through with this, I got to mainly find out what kind of reaction you're getting, you know, what kind of input you're getting on this one. And I would love to hear, you know, people, how they say, oh, no, Selwyn, you're way off. This is never, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, sure. We'll see. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and it's Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, DUKE.com, SelwynDuke.com. We'll have the rest of the story in just a moment.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, his website, selwynduke.com. AI and religion, will our children be forced to worship a digital god? Yes, boy, I'll tell you. Scary stuff here. Scary, scary. So, say, could we eventually create an artificial entity that also possesses intellect and free will? I suspect so. And that's the dangerous sentence right there. Free will, yes. We don't know what will did, but free him. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. You asked what reaction I got to this. I know one fellow in the comments section, he said it was more AI nonsense again, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think we should dismiss this. I mean, Elon Musk said, however remote this possibility is, the prospect of it is so staggering that we have to take it seriously. And the question is, could artificial intelligence become sentient, become self-aware? Well, that is the question. Now, you've got one camp, Chuck, that says, no, no, it'll always be just as good as the programming and the people programming it. The other camp says something different. No, there is a point where this technology maybe could become self-aware as portrayed in all these science fiction works. And I come down on the latter camp. But let me tell you what my reasoning is, okay? My reasoning is this, Chuck. If something occurs in the physical world, well, then we know it's possible, right? Right. And if it's in the physical world and we can observe it for long enough and come to understand it, I believe we can eventually replicate it, okay? Well, human beings, they exist in the physical world. Human beings have intellect and free will, okay? So as our technology of the brain or our understanding of the brain and our technology increases, okay, we have to say, well, could we eventually create some artificial entity that mirrors human beings and that it has intellect and free will? Like I said, I think so. And understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying we could replicate the human soul because that's not something we can observe in the physical world. I'm not talking about that. And this does get a little complicated, Chuck, when I talk about understanding the brain, because philosophers, many of them anyway, believe there's also something called the mind, which is apart from the brain and which is non-material. Now, if you think the mind is necessary in order to have free will, then, of course, you might say, well, my thesis is not correct because the mind is not of the material world and we can't observe it. Okay, but I think that we could create this being, a being with intellect and free will, but that is soulless, okay, but that is also millions of times more intelligent than we are. I do think it's possible, and as I put it in my piece, I think this theory could be tenable to both secularists and theists. Now, why? Well, if you're talking about secularists, Chuck, their implied belief is that man is just a mere organic robot, some pounds of chemicals and water, because they wouldn't believe that we have a soul, okay? And so then to them, the idea that we could create inorganic robots that could mirror us shouldn't seem far-fetched, right?
Right.
But what about theists? Well, again, in accordance with what I just said, we're talking about replicating what can be observed in the material world, not replicating what cannot be the soul. Okay, so again, I think it's a distinct possibility, and I think it's a very, very dangerous one. And also remember something else. We're not God. We can't do everything that he can, Chuck, but we are his children. And what that means is that we do have the capacity to do many things that he can. I mean, why do you think we often have these warnings about playing God? You hear that all the time. Don't play God.
Yeah.
It's because people recognize we can do it. We can do it to some extent. And I think we can do it maybe with respect to this. Now, you can understand, Chuck, why some people might find this appealing, creating a digital god, which, again, Larry Page, Google co-founder, wants to do. I mean, it could provide intense ego satisfaction, the idea that you could become the man to create the digital god. And, of course, a lot of these people maybe fancy that they could control this digital god, or at least they could keep it within certain boundaries, okay? But as I put it in my piece, you know, would they be remembered as anything if they created such an entity? Would they be remembered as the person who created the digital god? Or would this entity's superintelligence be matched by a superego? Would it want to share credit with anyone? What would it be like? You know, here's the whole thing. We talk about the exact right thing. Larry Page said, well, that's what this entity would be able to deliver, but would it know morally what that would be? You know, I mentioned before, Chuck, that I asked ChatGPT recently about moral relativism because I wanted to see what it would say, okay? And it wasn't bad when it was talking about the perils of moral relativism, but then when it was talking about the benefits, it really went off the rails. And ultimately, when I asked it if moral relativism was good or bad, it said, well, I can't provide that answer as an AI language program, but then it said, that's up for everyone to decide for himself. Well, it was prescribing relativism right there. So my point is, would AI just operate in this relativistic way?
Okay. All right. And the final word in just a moment from Selwyn Duke. Yes.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Back in 2019, Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston combined their talents to play a pair of bumbling detectives who solve a grisly, complicated crime. Well, now they're back, attending the wedding of one of their old pals from the last film, who suddenly disappears in Murder Mystery 2, now streaming on Netflix.
The Maharaj has been kidnapped, and all of you are suspects.
You must be the Spitzers.
Yes!
Your reputation's precede you, not in a positive way.
That's Mark Strong, who's actually a worthwhile addition to this cast. And the entire movie, set in scenic locations in India and Paris, generates more energy, humor, and excitement by far than the first film. Yes, the ridiculously complicated plot makes everyone a suspect, but the couple at the center of the story at least looks like they're having fun this time, and their relationship generates a few more sparks. Rated PG-13, 2.5 stars for Murder Mystery 2, that rare sequel that takes a step forward.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them,
It's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, the new American, selwynduke.com. Did you get it all in to the very last word that you wanted to say?
No, Chuck, because I have to confess, I didn't really explain myself well before the break, so let me close the loop on this, okay?
Waiting for the loop. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the loop. Got to have the loop. Without the loop, you're just a straight line, and that goes, well, somewhere, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about the possibility of artificial intelligence becoming self-aware and maybe dominating humanity, as seen in so many science fiction works. Well, here's the thing. G.K. Chesterton once said, "A truly great man knows that he is not God, and the greater he is, the better he knows it." Now, if this entity did come to be, would it really understand that it's not God? And let's understand this, okay? Let's talk about moral philosophy here. What is the nature of this thing that we call right and wrong? Okay, there are basically two philosophies in the world. One philosophy is the theistic one, and that says that truth exists. It's something that is transcendent, that exists apart from man. It implies God, and from that, we get right and wrong. It's something objective. It's not a matter of opinion, okay? The other perspective was expressed by someone who is close to someone, not close actually, but someone who was known by someone who was close to me. And this man, who I believe might be a sociopath, actually said, quote, "Murder is not wrong, it's just that society says it is." Now that is a quintessential sociopathic statement, because a sociopath is someone who doesn't have a conscience, because if he's a smart sociopath, maybe he's come to the conclusion that it's not rational to have a conscience, because there's nothing to be conscientious about, because there is no truth. Everything is just a function of man's opinion, of what society happens to say at the moment. And of course, if there's no God, then what that man said is correct. It's just that society says that murder is wrong, because there's nothing apart from society. There's only society to say anything. Okay, so those are the two points of view. Now the question is, which conclusion would this sentient AI come to, okay? Well, it's hard to imagine that it would develop faith in God and say, okay, well, truth is objective, and therefore there is right and wrong, there is morality, and even I must subject myself to it. It's perhaps more logical to think that this entity would go down the road of moral nihilism, that man is the measure of all things, as the Greek philosopher Protagoras put it, except that this entity would say, I'm a million times smarter than man. I am the measure of all things. Okay?
Right.
That is perhaps the fear. And that's why I concluded my article by saying, you know, would this entity become a worldly savior, or would it become the ultimate sociopath? And if the latter, then its creator might be very happy to be forgotten, because, well, then he might have birthed not a digital god, but a digital devil.
You know, and I got a stupid question here, or statement, actually. You know, whenever they build a robot, okay, you're thinking, is there an off and on switch? And how hard is it to turn it off in case the thing got out of control? You know, and can you reprogram it like what you were talking about? Yes, you will acknowledge God. You know, stop saying that you are God. But basically, is there like an emergency switch, Selwyn, whenever we get so many of these things running around on Earth? Are they going to be smart enough to know, you're not going to touch me, I'll electrocute you. You're not touching the on and off switch. Does that sound like way stupid?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, I think that's the fear, because if you're talking about an entity that's a million times smarter than we are, then you have to say it's going to be able to outfox us at every turn. And that's what Elon Musk is worried about. And, you know, I think the only possible solution, if you want to use that term, Chuck, is this. Okay, first of all, you have to remember, ever since we left Eden, so to speak, there was no way to put that toothpaste back in the tube and say, well, we're just going to stop developing technology that could be used for evil. I mean, there's no way. Just like unilateral nuclear disarmament was never going to work, because then you'd be at the mercy of the bad actors on the world stage.
Yeah,
this is the same thing. We could stop developing AI here in the United States, but China is not going to stop. Russia is not going to stop. So what is the solution? Well, I think the only possible solution is something that Elon Musk mentioned when recently interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And to put it in very simple terms, he said he wants to start developing AI. And I think his whole theory is that he wants to develop, quote, good AI that, if necessary, down the road could possibly negate or neutralize anything that bad AI might do. You know, and I really think that's the only possible solution. But like I said, ever since we left Eden, we have no other choice. We have to forge on ahead. And what can we do? All we can do is pray and hope that God will protect us from our worst instincts, you know?
You know, I think it was about 7 years ago, and I may be wrong, might be a shorter period of time, where I saw a video where they had this staged battle, and they were using robots who were able to, you know, go into the enemy territory and blow up all their equipment and stuff like that. And I think it was like maybe 10 at the most, but they were sort of like robots on wheels. That's the other thing, you know, you think about a robot, you know, how fast can they run upstairs? You know what I mean? Because people kind of think they're always clumsy, you know. But it's some scary, scary stuff, I'll tell you. If people, I got to tell you, someone writes fantastic articles, and you give out an audio on most of them too, don't you?
Yeah, well, the New American provides that, yes. So you don't have to read it. You don't have to strain your eyes. You can just strain your ears.
So you would go to the New American, right, .com?
Yes, absolutely.
Or just go to SelwynDuke.com, and you probably have a link for it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it takes you right there, absolutely.
Yeah. So to show you, you know, if you don't have somebody stumbling around trying to tell you what Selwyn has said, you can listen to it yourself right there. All right. Very little time here, but, you know, it's kind of funny how some people get elected, isn't it? And maybe anyone can be elected. I want you to just touch on this right here with this New York governor. I want you to listen to this, listener. The New York governor is pushing legal pot, all right? But Selwyn, what else is he doing that goes along with that but has exactly the opposite meaning?
Yeah, well, this is really something. This is our governor, Kathy Hochul. And anyway, her government is test marketing the idea, according to the New York Post, of outlawing tobacco completely, all tobacco in the state.
Right.
And what they did is they put out this little survey here that was disseminated to various entities, and it asked questions such as, what is your opinion about a policy that would end the sale of all tobacco products in New York within 10 years? Okay, this is called the New York Local Opinion Leaders Survey. And then another question asks, get this, what is your opinion about a policy that would ban the sale of all tobacco products to those born after a certain date? For example, those born after the year 2010 would never be sold tobacco, unquote. So I'm saying, wow, that's something. So what's next? People born after 2010 will never be sold gasoline cars? Is that coming next?
Wow.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's like Hochul has never heard of prohibition. You know, we had the prohibition of alcohol between 1920 and 1933, and it was rescinded because it was such a disaster. It just led to a huge black market and really empowered all the more organized crime. And this would do the same thing, Chuck, because, of course, it's one thing to have a prohibition that people know has a basis in reality and is just. But when it's an unjust prohibition, people tend to know it, and they will resist robustly. And I'll leave it there because, you know, Chuck, I'd like to talk about your great radio career since this is your last show.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we'll do that, you know. But I just want to say, if you read this article, listener, April 27th, New York governor pushes legal pot, test marketing, though, complete tobacco ban. It just goes to show you that anyone can be elected. Seriously, anyone. And so watch out for the robots, because I'm pretty sure they're going to be making more sense because they have more, background checks and stuff like that, on the subject of getting to. So my great radio career, yes. And I went over quite a bit of it there in the very first hour of the show. It's quite all right, though, because people just love to hear it, you know. But Mike Horn was on. He's the CEO of CRN. And so we were talking about how long have you and I, it started with George, right, whenever you first came on George's show, I'm sure.
A
long time,
you know,
hasn't
Chuck, it? Yeah, it's been more than 10 years for sure, and probably a lot longer than that. And yeah, I first came on with George, and that was wonderful because he was a legend, George Putnam. And I know you were associated with him, and you took the show over. And I just want to say you've had me on every week for ages. You've been loyal to me, and I've really appreciated that, Chuck, that you've appreciated my appearances. And I can't say that about everyone. And you know, the loyalty is reciprocated. I always said to myself, you know, it doesn't matter. I could become as famous as Tucker Carlson. I'm always going to go on Chuck Wilder's show because he's been loyal to me. I'm going to be loyal to him. But, you know, Chuck, you had an association with George Putnam. How did that come to be?
Well, you know, I was working for KIEV, and we were doing, country, mostly country. And we did Oldies But Goodies, and I think we were doing Oldies But Goodies, and all of a sudden they said, you know, I think, and they just got their permit to go, 24 hours a day, which when it all started out, it was daytime only. But all of a sudden, it's kind of interesting because the owner of the station's wife was very good friends with Mr. Blackwell. Do you remember that name? The worst dress.
No, I don't.
He used to come out once a year with the worst dress women in America. And I mean, it was nationwide. People, they'd have people, from England over, broadcasting whenever they did it. Well, the owner's wife was a very good friend of his, and he was working for KABC Radio in Los Angeles. And they let him go. And so the wife said, we're going to go talk, and we're going to bring Blackwell over here. And said, all right. And Blackwell, he was kind of a strange fellow. But anyway, they said, so who are we going to have work with Mr. Blackwell? And they picked a guy named Chuck Wilder. So we went talk, and I started working with Mr. Blackwell. Now, they have what is called the Twin Towers in Los Angeles, the Arco Twin Towers. And we kept thinking, they're going to hit the Twin Towers after 9/11. They'll come down to L.A. and they'll hit the Twin Towers in L.A. And what we had done, we had built brand new studios because they had a giant shopping center in the bottom of the Arco Towers. And we had this beautiful studio and a big window, and we had all kind of seats. And the thing was, they only had about five or six seats, benches, where people could sit and watch the show. And George Putnam's lady that was producing everything he did, Sally Conlon, and she was, his companion for 52 years and still alive. She went out and got all the other benches they had throughout all the shops there in the bottom of the Arco Towers and all the other, like you could watch this and watch that. She went and got all of them because she said, we got to have more seats for George. And as it turned out, we would always have live guests there and people would come and they would watch and we had a microphone set up out there. And anyway, so we did it forever and ever and ever. And then we got some better offers, and George left. And we went to a couple of other radio stations, and eventually we ended up on CRN. And it worked out very well, you know. But the early 1980s with George, you know, most of his life he devoted to the Daily Curve events going on, you know. And whenever, you know, let's see, since 2004, yeah, CRN Radio started syndicating Putnam's Talkback Show to a national audience, cable TV, radio stations, internet, and we were broadcasting from his ranch in Chino, California. And on that ranch, you had all his horses, because he had racehorses, right? And we also had any other animal that would show up, and especially dogs and cats, and it was sort of, what was it, abandoned animals? People knew that.
Yeah.
And amazing, Selwyn, people would throw animals over the fence because they know that's where they could be taken care of. And, of course, George, he always rode in the Tournament of Parades 45 years. He was in three movies. Let's see, I Want to Live, Helter Skelter, and the last one he did was Independence Day, the first one. And so did it. Yeah, his last broadcast was May 8th, 2008, because he became sick. He came back July 14th. We did a one-hour broadcasting marketing the 94th birthday, and people are calling up from all over, especially you know the actors and people like that. And perhaps the one that we talked to the most was Doris Day, also an animal lover. So. We're going to take a break here, and then Selwyn and I'll come back, and maybe Suede will join us here and have a couple of words. What do you think of that? Is that all right with you, Selwyn?
That sounds great. Great
Fantastic.
Idea.
Fantastic. And really appreciate the relationship Selwyn Duke and I have had for so many years. And he and I are going to wrap it up, and perhaps the Suede will suede on in here. Yes, we'll be right back.
To make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-305-9102. 800-305-9102. 800-305-9102. That's 800-305-9102. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder here. My guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Remember, keep up on him, SelwynDuke.com, SelwynDuke.com. Selwyn, just before I say adios to you finally, I want to bring in here Suede, our engineer. Are you there, Suede?
I am here. Great to be with you guys on the air.
Yeah, you have the honor of almost getting in the last word, but see, we weren't going to do that. Selwyn gets in the next to the last word, and then I get in the last word. And just want to thank you for all you've done, and you and all the other guys that we've had, you know, backing up here, and especially, gosh, where did I get it? Yeah, anyway, Jeremy, yep, thank you, Mr. G, whole bunch of people. But, see, they saved my rear end so many times when something goes wrong, you know, like if I hit the wrong button or something like that, you know. So you've saved my rear end many times. So without a rear end, you can't sit in the seat and do the show.
You mean like, Chuck, if you hit that self-destruct button accidentally and then Suede says, no, abort, abort.
You know how many times I've looked at that destruction button there and said, is this the time? No. No. Who do I have tomorrow? Selwyn Duke. Okay, I'll be back. No, I've had some great guests, but Selwyn and I, we go back, way back, and we've had personal telephone conversations. And but once again, you know, hey, Suede, I really appreciate it. You come on, and boy, I'll tell you, when the thing goes down and you do it over the telephone, Suede's right there, and he has to go through everything. So really appreciate it, sir, you and all the great workers at CRN.
Well, Chuck, it's been an absolute pleasure having you at the on the show, and getting to work your show has really been a light in my day. So I'm going to miss that a whole lot, but congratulations on the retirement, and I will still be in this chair if you ever want to come on any show. Just let me know, and I will patch you in with Mike Horn or anybody you want to talk to.
All right. Yeah. And I see that Tucker Carlson wants to take over, but he wants $200,000 an hour. So tell Mike Horn, you know, start digging.
Pocket change.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I was thinking it's an amazing week. I'm sorry to interrupt. Tucker Carlson parted ways with Fox News on Monday, and now you're leaving on Friday. Really something. And then, of course, we had Don Lemon, but he's no loss. But
well,
I just want to say, Chuck,
two out of three is not bad, you know. One, we had to have one lemon.
It's a bittersweet honor for me to be the final guest of your great, great radio career. And I just wish you, Chuck, the best in all your endeavors. I mean, if you decide to do a podcast once or twice a week, or maybe every now and again pen an article, or if you just decide to kick back and relax with your family, which would be well deserved, I wish you all the best. I really do, Chuck. And I appreciate from the bottom of my heart the fact that you've had me on all these years.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you are one guy that I'm serious. Boy, when you put out a piece, it's worth reading. And there's so much research. And thank goodness for that guy named Chester that helps you out. What's his name?
Chester Tun. And he was a ton, let me tell you. Intellectually, too.
All right. Thank you, Selwyn Duke. Thank you very much, Suede. And thank you for listening to Talk Back. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. Hey, God bless America. and that would be the United States of America.